Very good afternoon. It's 7 minutes past 4 o'clock. You're tuned to the Mooney Show. It's the time of the year when, with the weather warming up, the hibernation season is at an end. And as we speak, hedgehogs all over Ireland are on the hunt for food to replace the fat reserves they used up during their long sleep. On awakening, they need to food. Their need to food is urgent, of course. In the UK, the hedgehog population has declined by a third in the last 10 years, and the RSPB is calling on people to make their gardens as wildlife-friendly as possible and to leave hedgehog-friendly food around for any prickly visitors who may happen to call by. Dr. Amy Haig is a postdoctoral researcher in University College Cork. She's currently studying red squirrels on Photo Island, but her PhD in 2011 was on hedgehogs. And I'm delighted to say that Dr. Amy Haig is in our Cork studio now. Good afternoon, Dr. Haig.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Just in terms of hedgehogs, should we be concerned about hedgehog numbers here in Ireland?
Well, certainly, if you look at the statistics from the UK, a recent report reported that they had gone down from about 30 million in the 1950s to about 1.5 million recently. And while the situation may not be as grave here, it's important that these things are addressed before they do become a problem, because a lot of times an animal is considered plentiful and isn't worried about, and then as people people actually start to become aware and worried, it's actually too late. So it's very important that any problems that are addressed are addressed straight away, in order to prevent them becoming to such a level.
And by any chance, Amy, do you have roadkill statistics?
Well, we, as part of our research, we would have carried out statistics on looking at the occurrence of roadkill, and it is quite a problem. Certainly, a lot of people are only aware of them from actually being dead on the road, and this is particularly the case between around May and July, which is actually the hedgehog's breeding season. And we actually did some aging data and found that up to about 87% of them that we collected from the road were actually only between up to 3 years of age, and up to 50% of them had actually died in their first summer.
So this is what happens. Yeah. The Biological Record Centre will be looking for records of these. So we don't have any idea at all of the numbers of them in Ireland. You're saying they went from 30 million to 1.5 million in Britain. We don't have any idea how many we would have here, do you?
Well, it's known that they're widespread throughout the country, but certainly an estimate of numbers there wouldn't be. I mean, even in my research, I would have just looked at one group. But certainly when I did a public survey, a lot of people had been very aware of them a few years ago, but had said that they hadn't seen them for quite a few years. Now, obviously, it comes into an effect of, well, is it just that because hedgehogs are nocturnal, people aren't aware of them, and certainly farmers are much less in contact with the land as they would have been maybe in the past because of the advent of a lot of machinery. So certainly it does, this does come into question. But while they're widespread, we don't really have an idea of the numbers here, no.
Amy, is this, the hedgehog, it seems to me, is the equivalent of the blackbird, the robin and the song thrush, mm-hmm. when its natural habitat was encroached on by agriculture and us. They found there a safe haven in the suburbs, and you do find a lot of hedgehogs in the suburbs. So it should do rather well because the suburbs are thriving and people mm-hmm. are minding animals in the suburbs, and they're not going to go extinct, surely. This year they should have done very well. If you go back to the spring, it was a prolonged spring, very warm. Now the hedgehog depends on the fat levels it can keep up for hibernation, and this spring it could stay up much later and get much fatter. So the ones, this is the day of judgment now, they're getting up, rising up on the last day, and they will be divided into two groups, those that go to the wall and those who don't go to the wall. So the ones that had a good stock of fat on them last spring last autumn should do very well now in the spring. Would you agree?
Yes, certainly. I mean, it is one of the main, a lot of them would maybe die in hibernation. Certainly that doesn't seem to be as much of a problem in Ireland, as our winters are much milder, and also possibly because there is a greater density of areas such as hedgerows, so they can build quite adequate nests. But certainly in other countries such as Sweden, hibernation would be the main cause of death. But yes, it is quite true that they are moving into suburban areas. They can do very well in these areas, but also they do actually cover quite a large area. I think people very much associate that they're quite slow moving animals who occupy small areas. But if you take into account that the males could cover an area of 56 hectares, it's very difficult for them to meet all of their requirements in just a few gardens. And obviously the movement between these gardens in suburban areas, because of the network of roads, can have quite a big effect on them being killed on the roads, and they're coming into contact with a lot more hazards.
So you're saying now when they come out of hibernation, they're absolutely starving, even though Richard, when he works out which is spring and which is autumn.
I got it mixed up. I apologise. I meant to say autumn.
You can't do a single thing here without correcting
you. Yeah. Someone has to keep managing the whole lot of you. Anyway, last autumn was really good. They ate loads of food. They went into hibernation. They have to have about a kilogram of fat on them to survive. But still in all, they're waking up starving. And you're saying now one of the things you want people to do is to actually help them put out food for them. Now, we were all told that hedgehogs are the real McCoy for eating slugs and snails. So what do you recommend people would put out for them? Obviously, they would be delighted to put out their slugs and snails if they had them. But can they add to this by putting out anything else?
Well, one of the important things is, I think growing up, everybody was very much told that hedgehogs loved bread and milk. And that is one thing that you should totally avoid giving
them. That's Enid Blyton. Everybody reads Enid Blyton for squirrels hibernating, hedgehogs eating bread and milk. There should be a law against Enid Blyton.
But certainly these things stick.
That's very cruel. Enid Blyton when I was a young boy.
Well, stick to Noddy and Big Ears then. But our scientific stuff wasn't great.
Timmy was the dog, I think, if I'm not wrong. Don't have to defend Enid Blyton. Yes, anyway, continue on.
Well, it's not bread and milk, sure it's not.
No, because they're actually lactose intolerant. Now, one thing that they recommend is to give them something like, if you have a cat, something like dried cat biscuits can be fine. There's actually even a lot of commercially available foods now have been developed because of the fact that there has become a real kind of craze of people feeding them and wanting to attract wildlife to their gardens. So to meet that demand, for instance, the RSPB has developed a food, and there is other foods commercially available often in garden centres. Which would be made up of a combination of mealworms and things that the hedgehog would eat. But really, the hedgehog, even though it's largely insectivorous, will actually eat anything it can get its hands on. Even in their diet, they found things such as small mammals, even things like frogs and eggs, which has actually caused quite a problem in areas where they've been introduced.
Is it food shortage or is it intelligence that is the problem for the hedgehog? This is the most ancient of our mammals, with the shrew. It's the oldest. It goes back a long, long time. And it has the smallest brain in relation to its size of any of them. So it is a very primitive kind of animal in a way. And of course, it behaves rather primitively. It's a medieval siege animal. When trouble threatens, it rolls up on a ball and it's got these big medieval spikes. It's like some awful war machine out of the Middle Ages. And this is, of course, a total disaster if you're on a busy road and you see a truck coming down. The last thing you do is roll up in a ball and hope that the truck won't go over you. So in a sense, it is not able to adapt to the world as it rapidly. I'm acutely conscious of this, being very ancient myself. I find it very difficult to adapt to a technology. And I'm sure the poor old hedgehog who goes back 16 or 17 million years is probably finding it much more difficult even.
One of the interesting things actually from observing them is they do act quite differently when they actually do cross the road. They actually very much pick up speed. So it does appear that they would be aware of a danger, but I suppose their instinct is to roll up in a ball. But even in terms of things like a badger, the spines are actually no defence. Badgers will actually kill hedgehogs in some cases. Now, I have found that they have been found in the same area, but a badger can completely prise them open and just leave literally a sheet of their spines.
Can I ask you one thing, Amy, because it was kind of new to me, or at least I've forgotten about hedgehogs, that they can actually move their nests up to six times during hibernation?
Yes, in our study, we actually did find that some of them would stay in the same nest for the whole duration of hibernation, but others would move quite a number of times between nests. Certainly in midwinter of around December and January, they would tend to stay in their nests, but at the start and end of hibernation, you would see them moving and actually occupying quite a number of hibernacula. And then sometimes they would actually go back to those hibernacula and use them as day nests, but they never ever return to them the following year. But they can actually last for up to a year. They're very robust structures.
Yeah, the thing about it is quite often you realise there's a hedgehog in your garden when you hear the dog barking, because they will come and go to the dog's bowl and start eating the dog's food, because they are actually carnivores after all. So whatever meaty things the dog is eating, they're quite happy to have it as well. But people are always hoping that they can keep a hedgehog, but they are protected under the Wildlife Act, so you can't kidnap them.
No, as cute as they are, and as much as maybe I wanted to kidnap a few of them, you can't. And they're actually protected under the Wildlife Act and also under the Berne Convention. So they are a species that are under protection. So yes, you. While it's great to encourage them in the area, into your area, you can't keep them.
Why don't they cooperate with each other? I mean, they run out of fuel in the winter because when they're hibernating, and they die, a lot of them. Well, now, if they would only consent to sleep with each other, if there was a clump of them together, they would cut down on heat loss enormously. Mm-hmm. But yet they shun this option. There must be some instances of hedgehogs with a propensity to nest with someone else. Would this help, do you think?
Well, certainly when the juveniles have first reached independence, there can be instances of them all returning to the same nest and using the nest for the first week or two. And I did find instances of a nest that would be used by a few different individuals, but never simultaneously. But while, yes, it would probably cut down on the energy consumption and reduce problems, really, certainly in a lot of cases, maybe that just isn't needed. Really, these nests are very robust structures. They're very effective. A lot of times, as long as they don't last in water, as I said, they can last for up to a year. So really, I don't think that this is something that's actually even needed for them.
How long do they live?
Well, they would have the capacity to live up to 10 years, but actually, in reality, they really don't make it past two in the wild.
The first year is the hardest. I remember a couple of years ago on the programme, we were discussing the effect of climate change. Now, normally, Irish hedgehogs come into heat, have their babies in June, and they're big enough to go into hibernation in September, October. But we were discovering, some people were on the programme telling us that because of the increased temperatures, that they were coming into heat a second time and giving birth to a second lot of young in September, which of course there wasn't enough time for those to fatten up and go into hibernation. Is that still happening?
Yes, in the UK and also in Ireland, they can have two litters. It doesn't happen in places like Sweden, where obviously the active period is much shorter, but they will often have two litters in Ireland, and that is particularly the case if, say, the first litter had died. Now, I actually had a litter that only reached independence at the end of October, so I was obviously thinking that there was no way they would survive, but they actually did survive hibernation. They only went into hibernation at about 470 grams and they went in November, but they actually put on energy, put on weight very fast and actually were able to survive. But yes, they would have two litters here.
Amy is a lady who has a second litter taking her life in her hands, because after she raises that litter, she then has to get her own fats up high enough to get through the winter. Are there instances where a lady risked a second litter only to find both they and herself perished?
That is exactly a very big risk that they would take. Even when they have young in July, they will be under immense pressure to build up fat reserves. And actually, that's why it actually flips. And while in May to July, you might see a high instance of males killed, in August, actually, it was a higher instance of females killed. And that's because they're moving further in order to build up these fat reserves. But certainly, if they're having a second litter, it is very much a risk of you're kind of choosing passing on your genes to your juveniles rather than keeping them yourself, because you are reducing the chance of your survival. And this generally would occur quite a lot in an older animal who would possibly they would take the risk more readily because they're an older animal and it would be more beneficial to pass on young than to survive yourself.
Well, Amy, we've discovered obviously in this programme that bread and milk is not something you should give to the hedgehogs. Mm-hmm. But how can we help the hedgehogs? How can we encourage them into the garden?
Well, certainly by if you wanted to attract them, certainly by offering them food that was beneficial to them, that wouldn't cause any ill effects, but also by reducing any hazards in your garden, even in situations like where cattle grid and farms where there might be cattle grids, to make sure that there is a way of them to get out. And also maybe to make your gardens a little less tidy and have areas of vegetation where they could build nests and where they would offer cover, and also what you're putting onto the ground in terms of pesticides. By reducing those, that would have a beneficial effect on them too. And by making maybe gardens accessible through maybe gaps in fences and things like that, so that they can move between the different gardens.
No blue pellets then.
No.
No.
Dr. Amy Haig from University College Cork, thank you so much for joining us on
thank
the Mooney Show.
Much.
And thank you indeed for being so informative here on the Mooney Show.